This is Glitterbeam. Hey, I do my hair, toss, check my neck. If you just focus on me.
Listen, every time. I'm on the deep end, watch us arrive. More music variety.
This is Glitterbeam.
We don't stop the music.
Hey guys, welcome to Glitterbeam Radio. This is Outtakes. My name is Joseph Palmer, and of course I'm here today to take you through the world of film and everything going on within it. So, what has happened this week? Well, a lot of not all that dramatic things have happened, but we've had return to actual film releases. There are three major releases this week, one I'll be covering in a written review later on in the week. Otherwise, we've got two reviews coming through to you today, and one really exciting bit of news, which features one of my favourite films of all time and my favourite cinematic moments of all time. So I'll be talking through to you about that, and we'll be covering, of course, Tom Clancy's Without Remorse and The Mitchells vs. The Machines, available on Prime and Netflix respectively. So crack on, get you some music, and we'll get right on with those reviews. With the weather like it is today, I don't think there's a more appropriate song. This is Adele with Set Fire to the Rain. I let it fall.
To stand in your arms. We-
That was Adele with Set Fire to the Rain, and let's just crack right on. This is a song that's been stuck in my head for so long. I'm praying that this will get it out of my head because it's been all week. It's Coldplay with Viva La Vida.
I used to rule the world, seas it rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone, sweep the streets I used to own.
Hey folks, welcome back to Outtakes. Now, time for the first review of the day. And this one is one I was kind of looking forward to. I was excited to see if it was going to end up being any good. And I think, to be honest, it's hard for me to explain why it ended up being so, I guess the word is terrible. And that's harsh, but it's Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. And I think there's lots to talk about. But I think you need some history before we start, because the history will explain why this movie is not great. So before I was born, I mean, I was born in 96, so before I was born, there were loads and loads of Tom Clancy movies. Specifically, actually just three, but they were felt like the quintessential spy movies that aren't James Bond, and there was loads of movies that tried to copy that sort of style. So you had, of course, Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger. Three of the absolute best spy movies of the late 80s and 90s. Of course, between that, we had tons of stuff which just felt like it. Things like Crimson Tide, which just felt the exact same. And they were good or they were rubbish, it didn't really matter. But after Clear and Present Danger, The Sum of All Fears came out, and it kind of wasn't great. That was 2002. Same year as Dying of the Day, and both those movies helped kind of kill the spy genre. It's hard to say because it's kind of a harsh thing, but combined with the addition of Triple X, it was just kind of like going in a completely new direction. The slow burn style was no longer popular. Behind the scenes, however, Tom Clancy stuff was getting really, really popular through video games. Everybody remembers, of course, Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon, but despite all those two, and a bunch of other random things like Endwall, which, I mean, no one remembers that, Splinter Cell was the biggest one. Everybody loved Splinter Cell. Everybody. It was huge, and it was pushing the boundaries of what was possible on console gaming. But more importantly, it was really, really cool. The lead character of Sam Fisher was played by absolutely classic character actor Michael Ironside, and it's just a perfect addition to an otherwise stellar roster of Tom Clancy characters and actors. But, of course, the reason why this movie isn't very good is because it is basically just Splinter Cell Lite, the film. And as much as I love Splinter Cell, it works because it's a video game. So what is wrong with Tom Clancy's Without Remorse? Well, it's directed by Stefano Salima. It stars Michael B. Jordan and Akiva Goldsman. It stars Michael B. Jordan, produced by Akiva Goldsman, which should showcase why it's not a great movie. But before we do anything, here's a really quick clip. I'm going to give you my really quick review because it's not really much to talk about.
Fan's been telling us you got yourself a fancy new job, right?
Well, no, he's been offered the job. He hasn't taken it yet. Oh.
It's private security. Good hours, good pay. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a big step. Retiring from the military. When do you do again?
Oh, next month, the 17th.
Oh, next month, the 17th. Oh, man, I remember we had our first. Oh, my God. You think combat keeps you up at night? You just wait till that little joker gets hungry. He wants to rock kick you.
It's a girl.
A girl? Oh, now you're in trouble.
After that history lesson, what is remaining to talk about? Well, the film just isn't good. But it's not good in a boring way. The script is not great at all. The action's pretty decent, but it really just doesn't hold up an otherwise terrible script. There's one classic line, which I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. You can do this, but afterwards you're going to prison forever. And it's like, horrible line, terrible. It's not exactly like that, but it basically is that kind of thing. It's got Guy Pearce in it, which is nice. I just wish Guy Pearce was in more good movies. It's just not very good at all, to be perfectly honest. It's rubbish. There's so much that just doesn't work at all. The script is terrible. Obviously, the entire thing is just the most generic, oh, my wife was killed, now I'm going for revenge type of thing. And it doesn't even do that very well because there's not enough time to set it up. It does try and loosely tie itself into the Jack Ryan Amazon Prime show, but the looseness of that tie-in is so irritating, it's not really worth talking about. Jodie Turner-Smith is in this. She is dreadful, and it's clearly she's only clearly dreadful because the direction is just not there for her. Good actress ruined by an otherwise rubbish film. Jamie Bell's here. I mean, he's here for sure, but you might not remember that. It's just such a forgettable bad movie. The script is just horrifyingly bad. It's a shame, really, because it's written by Taylor Sheridan, who's superb at writing. But I don't know what happened. It must have been edited, surely, because no way Taylor Sheridan would have written like this. But there is one piece of exceedingly positive thing I have to say about it. Not only is the action pretty fun, the sound design is fantastic. And that's the one reason I'd suggest anybody watch this movie. The sound design... amazing. Thumping, powerful, watched with headphones, absolutely fantastic. I'd love to see this in a cinema for that one reason, because otherwise it's a really boring mess of a movie. Not really worth your time. I'm going to give it 2 stars, which is brutal, but I'm disappointed. You know, I could go into this song and say, oh, I think this is the best way to enjoy Without Remorse, enjoy the silence. But, you know, I think I'm actually above jokes like that. So here's Depeche Mode with Enjoy the Silence, which is definitely the best part of Without Remorse.
understand. Oh, my little girl.
Take every single piece of the blame if you want me to. But you know that there is no innocent one in this game for two. I go, and then you go out and spill the truth. Can we both say the words and forget this? Yeah. Is it too late now to say sorry? 'Cause I'm missing more than just your body. Oh. Is it too late now to say sorry? Yeah, I know that I let you down. Is it too late to say I'm sorry now? I'm not just trying to get you back on me.
On your laptop, on your tablet, on your smartphone, or smart speaker. Glitter Beam.
Hey guys, we are back. We talked earlier about Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. I gave it a 2-star and said it was really disappointing. Now to talk about a movie which is the exact opposite. I'm so excited to talk about this. It's going to be really difficult though because I don't think I've got any negative things to say about this movie. The Mitchells versus the Machines. Firstly, the animation, this is from the same people who brought you Lego Movie, Cloudy Chance of Meatballs, of course, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, and of course, the animation is a lot like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, with the, you know, flashing comic book style and a lot of little pencil sketchings in the side, and it's a really interesting look for a movie. What about the movie? Is it any good? Yes, it's absolutely fantastic. Brilliant. Michael Miranda and Jeff Rowe, who also worked on Gravity Falls, is behind this. It's about a kid who wants to get into film school. She's about to leave college. She's had a bit of a rocky relationship with her dad. So her dad decides to go on a long journey to film school with her rather than her taking a plane. And of course, during that, the machines rise and take over. Here is a clip.
The Posies are on vacation right now, and look how happy they are.
Family yoga break.
Why are you so obsessed with the Posies? They're just our neighbors.
They're just so perfect. I mean, even their dog is in better shape than ours. What are they feeding that thing? Other dogs?
Lynn, don't worry about them. Look at them. They're jealous of us, right, Katie? I see you moping back there. But what at your college could possibly be better than this?
We set up a slip and slide in the dorms. It's amazing.
This is the best day of my life. I'm making lifelong bonds.
I'm missing everything.
Okay, so what do I think of Mitchells and the Machines? Well, firstly, I think it's very hard for me to say it, separate myself from this movie, because this film is about a kid who wants to be a filmmaker. That's me. That was me as a kid. A lot of the stuff here, you know, I've just moved into an incredible place where I can actually start working on larger scale projects and actually doing things that I love. And to see somebody at this stage in their life, which I went through, this desire to go to film school and meet people who enjoyed the same stuff as me, it's an amazing and an accurate representation, like a beautifully accurate representation. I remember making films with a camera in, you know, fields, and they were all dreadful, but it got me where, you know, I wanted to be. So what about the rest of the movie then? Is it, you know, more than just that single concept? Well, not that much more. Like, the movie itself has got some amazing action. The animation is gorgeous. The humor is fantastic. I don't think it ever goes super, super into new directions with its plot. I never really got a feeling that it was something completely new. And that's not a problem, because it's more about the relationship of a family and the feeling of moving away for the first time as a kid. And that is what gets me about this movie, because it really is like Inside Out, but they managed to hit the message better. My one issue with Inside Out was that the message in it, all about growing up and whatnot, it never really hit for me. It never really had much of a real weight. And I always thought that because it just seemed a little, you know, hollow. Like, it's hard to explain, but it never really got across properly. And this really does. This feels like it does get across properly. And maybe that's because we can more accurately represent ourselves in a more, you know, modern character, a newer character, a character who uses smartphones all the time, but also a character who is a bit older. So, I don't know. It might not hit for everybody. That kind of relationship might not work for everybody. You know, who knows? But it's fantastic on that level for me. The cast is fantastic as well. Danny McBride, Maya Rudolph, Abby Jacobson, who's excellent. And of course, Eric Andre and Olivia Colman. But it's Michael Randa as Aaron Mitchell that really stole the show for me. A dinosaur-loving kid. Once again, a lot of people have watched this and have been there. Kids who just adore dinosaurs and just want dinosaurs involved in everything. It's a really funny thing. And they ride with that joke without it getting stale. And it's really meaningful. In the end, this movie is just fantastic. It really pulled at my heartstrings in the best way. There were so many times where I was on the verge of tears from both it being really emotionally powerful and also hilarious. It's fantastic. Well worth sitting down the entire family. I think a few of the jokes might go over adults' heads with, you know, newer references that not everyone will quite get. Maybe that's one fault, is that they do that a little bit too often. There's a lot of bits where it stops and it's like cat filter, and I'm kind of like, I don't know how funny that is, especially since that's, you know, a joke that was on TikTok a year ago, but it still works really nicely throughout the entire thing. It's a fantastic movie, well worth your time. Go ahead and watch it. So what do I give it star-wise? Of course, unsurprisingly, it's 5 stars. Perfect. I have no issues with it. And it's really nice to watch a film like this again. I feel like it's a bit of a game of two extremes at the moment with a lot of movies, but there you go, this one was well worth waiting for. What a great movie.
My playlist.
My playlist.
Don't show up. Don't come out. Don't start caring about me now. Feels like home. I want you to be loved.
My radio station. The home of the best.
Glitter Beam.
Plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens and no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you, you just gotta ignite the light and let it shine just on the night, like the 4th of July. 'Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you're worth. Make them go as you shoot across the sky.
Cause baby, you're a fire, you work.
That was Katy Perry with Firework. And now for another positive song, here's Huey Lewis in the News with The Power of Love. I do like this song, but sometimes I just think it's too darn loud. That was Huey Lewis in the News with The Power of Love. And now Queen are singing about their second favourite radio station behind Glitterbeam, of course, it's Radio Gaga. Hey guys, and we are back finally to talk about something I've been excited to talk about all day, Paddington 2. So you might have seen this on the news, but I love this piece of news more than anything. So Citizen Kane sat neatly at the top of Rotten Tomatoes with 100%, and then an 80-year-old review knocked it down to 99%, putting, finally, Paddington 2 at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think this is really interesting because Paddington 2 didn't do amazingly well. It did well critically, but definitely not commercially. But Paddington 2 is a film that I've been singing the praises of for ages. I first saw Paddington 1 a lot after it came out. You know, it came out in 2014. I'm pretty sure I saw it in 2016. So Paddington 2 was already gonna be slated. And I was excited to watch the sequel. I was really buzzing in it. And I watched it and I fell in love with it immediately. In fact, I went to the wonderful Hyde Park Picture House in Leeds, which is having a really nice renovation, which is really exciting. They're one of the best cinemas around and they gave me a free poster for it and I love that. But more importantly, we were the only people there at the time because it was a late night showing and I was laughing my head off all the way through. It is brilliantly funny and it's wonderful and heartwarming. But more importantly, it means that a classic British movie, which no one thought should have been good. I mean, you look at something like the terrible Peter Rabbit movie, that should have, you know, been the death knell for British cinema. But to showcase the kind of like comedic British style perfectly portrayed on screen is amazing. And it's got so many amazing British actors in it as well. So really what I wanted to talk about today was just to sing my praises for Paddington 2. Why is it the best movie of all time? Well, because it's just beautifully told. It's a movie that never falls down on, you know, really standard storytelling techniques. Hugh Grant, to start with, is fantastic. The way that he drops between different characters on the go is hilarious, but it never gets old, not even once throughout the entire movie. And the jokes that are used are really, really, really funny. And it's so silly. When he's in his attic talking between different characters, I was howling in the cinema. And similarly, when they find his attic later on and they're like, he's just a normal guy. Oh, he's a loon. It's genuinely genius. The comedic timing is so perfectly placed and it is that type of British humour, but I think it transcends Britain. It transcends Britain across to America and across the rest of the world because it's so universal. It's lovely as well. The message is amazing. It's a message all about how Paddington takes a bad situation and makes it amazing for everybody. It's a message about how we should treat everybody with kindness, no matter where they're from or what they've done. It's a message about how anyone can be redeemed, even if they seem like they might not be, and that even the scariest of people can really be lovely on the inside. It's a message about marmalade, a lot about marmalade, and I love that. I absolutely adore Paddington 2. I mean, my girlfriend and I, it was what we watched on our first date, which I think is another reason why it's such an important film to me. It's a very charming and witty and genius little movie. And I can't help but feel that something like this deserves to be number one because for me, it represents all that's great about cinema. Cinema is about bringing people together no matter what you're watching. If you're watching Bone Tomahawk or Paddington, it's about bringing people together in a room to watch it. And it's not nice being at home because of COVID and being stuck unable to watch movies in a cinema together. But we're going back to that scene and that's going to be really lovely. But Paddington 2 represents the spirit of watching films together. It's watching films with the family, it's watching films with your friends, it's watching films anywhere you'd like and enjoying what you're seeing. And for me, Paddington 2 is the perfect example of that. It's a beautiful story about friendship, about believing in one another, about supporting each other. And to see that be number one is great. Alongside that, it's also a kids' movie, films that should be terrible. It's an adaptation of a kid's book, something that should be terrible. We've seen it happen. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, we've seen it happen with Cloud of the Chance and Meatballs and the Lego Movie, all by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, of course. And we've seen it happen with a bunch of other stuff, but those are the type of things where you think, wow, this shouldn't be good at all. Why is it so good? I've seen it happen with other movies as well. Mad Max Fury Road should not have been a good movie. It was a masterpiece. There's lots of stuff that just should not be good because all the chips are against it. No one went into Paddington 1 expecting it to be a masterpiece, but it was a masterpiece. And no one expected Paddington 2 to be the greatest movie of all time. But now, officially, it is listed on Rotten Tomatoes as such, and it deserves to be there. So thank you, Paddington 2, for getting me through a lot of really rough times in my life. Helped with every portion of my life where I thought things weren't looking up. It brightened my day. It's a film I watch whenever I'm upset, even slightly. Or sometimes I just pretend I'm upset just so I can watch Pattinson 2. I also watch Blade Runner, of course, which makes for a great double bill. Maybe not tonally, but it's a great, great movie. Well worth the time. Please, if you've not seen it, this is the perfect time to go watch it. I love that it's in the news all the time at the moment. Let's just hope it is for more often, because it is a perfectly designed movie. It just needs the third movie. Come on. Please, let's let the cinemas be open by the time the third movie comes out. Surely they will be. Anyway, thank you for listening to my wonderful love letter to Paddington 2, the greatest movie of all time.
Forget about me. Don't.
That was Simple Minds with Don't You Forget About Me. We've actually had a few songs this episode from movies, but do you recognise which ones are which? Message us on Twitter at GlitterBeamUK or directly to me at Joseph Palmer Film on Twitter, and we'll tell you exactly which ones are which, but try and work it out. Otherwise, it's been an amazing day. I've actually had a really great time talking about a bunch of different films again. It's been nice to get away from the Oscars season. There's always a bit of drama and, you know, people getting annoyed at each other and no one's quite happy. So to move away to, you know, the good and bad movies of streaming services at the moment is kind of refreshing. Okay, Without Remorse was kind of rubbish. But The Mitchells vs. The Machines was excellent and a really, really nice change of pace. Paddington 2, though, is really a standout here. What a great movie. Please, Lord, go watch it. It's so good. Of course, we do quickly have to mention before the end of the show that it is the fabled time. In about 2 weeks, if things go well, cinemas will reopen. That is exciting as all heck. I can't wait. It's going to be an incredible time to go back to the cinema, but it might not happen. So let's not get too excited just yet until we're actually there. But if you do get the chance when things reopen and you can do it safely, please visit your local cinema. You know, support them. They do need it at the moment. Support good movies. Support things that aren't just streaming. Otherwise, it's been great chatting. I shall see you next week. Same place as always. You're listening to Glitterbeam Radio. I'll leave you with Chris for the Drive Time Show. Otherwise, I'll see you again next week.